on Inside Black and Gold. One more segment here. I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Steve Geller. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast, YouTube, whatever. You made it all the way to the third segment here. We got to be doing something right. Let us know. Give us a review. Whatever. But first things first, I got to know, Steve, what are your thoughts on Twitter stands for NFL players?
Twitter, just in general, is a terrible cesspool of nonsense, but it's still something, like, of all the social media platforms, I'm still most geared into that just because of the way the information comes to you. Everything is so instant, obviously, but there's just so many trolls out to get a rise out of folks, looking to stir the pot, as you would say. But the stands out there, I don't know. We mentioned Jameis one of one, obviously, earlier, was a huge one that we dealt with locally. I'll give him credit. He could twist any stat to make Jameis Winston look like a future Hall of Famer. It was unbelievable.
He was good at it. You know, I kind of put those on the opposite side of the equation. There are trolls and there are stands. And I can't hate the stands because in most cases, they're just trying to be positive about a specific player. Whereas a troll was just trying to talk shit constantly. And so if I had to pick between 100% stands and 100% trolls, I would pick stands every time. And it's kind of brought me to thinking, like, what makes a good stan, right? Because I would argue that Jameis one of one is like the gold standard.
Absolutely. Well, anything Jameis does, elevate. Yeah.
The gold standard, right, of stands. Because like he and the one thing that they all do well is they have screenshots. Like, and because you can't lie about the screenshot. And it was
it's
like
right one in front of you. Here's the facts.
The funniest one he had was like a list. It was like Jameis Winston is the first quarterback to ever throw for like 5,108 yards. It was like, why is that number? Because it was like Pat Mahomes or black quarterback to ever throw for that many. Because it was like Pat Mahomes had like 5,098 yards or something like that. And it was like, oh, we got to put it here. Otherwise, there's no stat. But no, it was funny. And every preloaded. And I give him credit. I give all these guys credit when they're it's like when you're well researched, you might as well use that information. And it's just I don't know. Like this is the time of year where I don't engage on a lot of that stuff because I just don't have the energy to argue about something that's meaningless, especially on Twitter this time of year. But one of those, and I would call this guy a stan, and I think he would call himself a stan. There's a few guys, you know, people call me a stan for Derek Carr just because I don't hate the guy. And I always find it funny because it was like, but the stands yell at me for not being nice enough to Derek. So I feel like that means I'm in the right space.
Both sides.
If the stands were too happy about me, then I would feel like it's like maybe I am being a little soft. And if the trolls were too much on my side, it'd be like, So as long as I'm in the middle where I get like 50% angry at me at any given time, I feel like I've done my job.
No, I think you've been plenty critical of Derek, but not overly. And I think that's right where the folks that hate Carr kind of appreciate it. And then the stands, I guess, maybe
yeah, that's the sweet spot. It's the sweet
right,
spot.
Exactly.
Right. But okay. So this guy, he's definitely a stan, but he listens to our podcast and he's always in the mailbags. And so I do want to answer his question, but I just did not have the energy to dive into this on Twitter. Okay. So I didn't do it, but I did see it. I needed to know I saw it. I just did not reply to it. And I'm not going to go through the stats. You can see if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see all the stats he laid out. Basically, he's looking at four seasons for four different quarterbacks. I'm not playing the guessing game of who they are, but he's pointing out that, hey, Derek Carr's stats are in line with a lot of these guys who are probably viewed as quote unquote franchise quarterbacks, guys that you would say, hey, they drive success with their teams. And his question is, and a fair question, is how much of that is just the narrative around a particular player versus actually being a franchise elevating player? Because so much of the time you're really just looking at wins and losses, which are not a quarterback stat. As much credit and blame as we give quarterbacks, wins and losses can't only be attributed to the quarterback. That said, they have the biggest impact on that of any player, any individual player on the field. So they are going to get undue blame and undue credit when it goes well. That's just how it works. That's part of the deal of being a quarterback. But is Derek Carr overly criticized for not driving winning more so than some of these other guys around the league? You look at a guy, guys who have not won, right? When I look at it and I say, okay, if you want to be viewed, the perception of your career is inevitably going to be how many winning seasons did you have, right? How many trips to the playoffs have you made? And how many games in the playoffs have you won? I don't need Super Bowls, but I do need you to show me that you can go win in the postseason, because until you do that, I don't believe you can. I think the postseason is a different game and not every quarterback is suited for it. And it's really not one that you can project. I think you just have to be in that moment before you can see whether that is the case. I kind of like it. So Derek, I kind of liken him to Zion Williamson in the fact that, like, I think he'd be a good postseason player, but we're going to get into fifth season and we're never going to know because he's never there for one reason or another. And, you know, with Derek, the best chance he had probably to show that he could be a winning quarterback in the playoffs, he got hurt at the end of the season, didn't play. You know, he obviously was in that game against Joe Burrow a couple years ago. They lost that game. He played reasonably well. But, like, when I look at quarterbacks and I say, hey, I'm not going to elevate this guy above a certain level, it's usually because if you don't show me you can win the playoffs, I'm not going to give you the credit for being like, hey, he has all these stats. Great. But you got to get to the playoffs and you got to win when you're there. And if you don't do that, you don't get credit for doing that just because you feel like you could have if you got there. I spent a lot of time kind of looking at, like, okay, where would I view Derek compared to a guy like Eli Manning, right? Like, and I would view them similarly. I would view their careers similarly, but Eli has two Super Bowl runs. Like, you look at Eli post 2012, not great, but you can't take those playoff runs away from him, you know? Then you look at a guy like Andy Dalton, and I would say, yeah, these two guys are very similar. Neither has had success in the playoffs. Both guys are on these career passing lists. They played for a long time. They played well for a long time, but neither has proven they can win in the postseason. And you can say they're okay. Well, the team let them down. They did this, but you look at it and you say, you're talking about a 10-year veteran. How many of those seasons was the team not good enough? And in those seasons, was the quarterback good enough? That's tough. But how about the seasons where the team was good enough and didn't make it? And whose fault was it then? So I don't know. And I like Derek. I think Derek, you can win with Derek. And that's what the whole argument is about. Stakanova, who is the stand, is saying, like, I don't understand this take that you can't win with Derek Carr. And my response to that would be, if you can, then why hasn't it happened yet? Why haven't you had these 10, 12 win seasons? And you could say, hey, it's coming. It's this year. And great. If it is, then that take will go away. But you're not going to have people interpret statistics and say, hey, he's a really good quarterback and is a franchise leader and can elevate teams to wins when it just hasn't happened. And that's kind of where I land on that.
Yeah, see, Carr, for me, I consider him in that mid-level range, obviously. No, I know you famously coined Kirk Cousins, Mr. Yeah. League average. And I think that Carr is, you know, just right there with him. Is he going to be a difference maker in games? I don't see that, but I don't think he's that bad of a quarterback where he's going to cost you games either. I know a lot of folks are critical of, you know, some of the picks he might have thrown last year, but it was a pretty good season for him overall.
Yeah, I mean, league average quarterback play will win you a lot of games, and it'll get you to the postseason more often than not. And I think what you see with Derek is, you know, when he's hot, he can win you games. He can get you to the postseason. He could probably win a postseason game. The problem is there's lows too, And I don't think the balance is there. And I would say the same thing about Eli Manning. Like Eli Manning, the story of his career was he got hot at the right time. And he made Tom Brady pay for it. And Derek just hasn't had that moment. You know, last year, I think if they make the playoffs, they win at least one game. I think the Eagles were the second worst team in the NFL by the end of the season. I think the only team worse than the Eagles in week 18 was the Panthers. Like they weren't beating anybody in the playoffs. So I think if the Saints got in and hosted the Eagles, I think they win that game. And then, you know, obviously the Lions is a much tougher question, but you never got that chance. And I think Derek Carr was hot at the end of the season in a way that if you got to the postseason playing like that, they would have been a tough out. He hasn't had that situation for him. But right. What annoys me is when people look at a guy like Kirk Cousins. And for some reason, like we saw these quarterback rankings earlier in the year, and Kirk Cousins was like way up there, and Derek was like 26th, which like, come on. Like these are not that much different quarterbacks. Absolutely, when you really right. break it down. Like these are the same general quarterback. Neither one can run. Neither one is going to make much happen with his legs, but you know, like they've been around forever. Neither one was a first round pick. You know, these are both guys that kind of developed at the NFL level. One of the differences is Derek played right away and Kirk sat behind RG3 for a couple of years, but neither has done anything in the playoffs. Like we talk right. about Kirk as if like he's this catch all, like, oh, he's definitely the guy that's going to take Atlanta over the top. Like he's Peyton Manning in 2015 or 2016. And I just don't see that because I put him and Derek Carr in a very similar situation. The biggest difference between Derek and Kirk is Kirk has had chances in the playoffs and has failed. Like I think Saints fans are a little misconstrued on his playoff like history because the one win he has in the playoffs was against the Saints of the Superdome. But go look at the other games he's played in the postseason, you know, and so, like, I put those guys similarly. I put Baker Mayfield in that same range, right? You know, it's funny because, like, a guy like Aaron Rodgers, has won one Super Bowl, right? He had that Super Bowl early in his career. And since that point, his career has been marked with playoff disappointments.
Yeah.
You know, they went 15-1 and lost to the Giants in 2012. They've made it to the NFC Championship several times, laid an egg in every single one, but they got there, right? Drew Brees, same way. Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers have virtually identical careers in the sense of constantly in the playoffs, never got back to the Super Bowl after winning that first one. And that's the biggest difference to me between, you know, a player who has the perception of being a franchise altering quarterback right. and a guy who is looked at as this guy again, you know?
Yeah, surprisingly, Rodgers doesn't get that criticism. Maybe all his for this off the field stuff, but definitely not on the field.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, that's a whole different conversation, and I've waged this war repeatedly of, like, why does Aaron Rodgers get so much credit, but, like, Drew Brees gets so much blame for never getting back to the Super Bowl? And, like, I think Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers, at the end of the day, are very similar. The biggest difference is Aaron Rodgers is, what, a four-time MVP? Like, for some reason, he always got the MVP love, and Drew never did. Like, the fact that Drew Brees never won an MVP is blasphemous.
It is bunk for sure.
But that's a whole different conversation. But I agree. Like, that's why I think there's two different kind of spheres of quarterbacks. And it's guys you have to imagine what they could have done in the playoffs and guys that showed you what they could do in the playoffs. And like a guy, you know, I asked you for kind of like examples, you know, like Joe Flacco is an interesting guy. I don't think Joe Flacco was ever that great, but he had that one playoff run and that defined his career, right? You know, Ben Roethlisberger had two, and that defined his career. Eli Manning had two, that defined his career. You know, but then you have guys like Geno Smith, Deshaun Watson, Ryan Tannehill. They're three different players, but neither has really ever done anything in the postseason. Geno has gotten there. Like, Deshaun Watson's a guy that everyone outside of the off-field stuff, like, if you just erase that for a second, which I'm not advising you to do, but if you did, I think universally everyone would be like, oh, this is our franchise quarterback. What has he actually done? Right? And when I agree with the take of, like, is it a narrative or is it actually based on statistics? I think that's the best example I can come up with of universally people think Deshaun Watson is a franchise quarterback. And he has not proven it whatsoever. right? Like people will also point to Justin Herbert, but I do feel like Justin Herbert is a unique case of a guy that has been legitimately torpedoed. Deshaun Watson torpedoed himself,
right?
And I just don't, I don't know. Like, but it is funny to me. Like, you would, if you put Deshaun Watson and Derek Carr on a table and just said pure quarterback, who would you take? People would take Deshaun every time. But that's purely on upside. It's not based on anything that's actually happened, because all of his stats came in terrible seasons for his team.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He was amazing, obviously, in Houston before things went to heck with the massage parlor stuff. And just now coming back from that, getting huge money from Cleveland, hasn't had the help. The contract in
Cleveland is insane when you consider what he did to earn that.
Right, it's wild. I don't get it. You know, you thought I definitely at one time would have considered Deshaun Watson elite, but yeah, he hasn't been the same guy.
He hasn't shown it. So that's why Derek's interesting, and I think that it's fair to say, like, there is an anti Derek Carr narrative that doesn't necessarily match the season he had last year. And whether you come at it, and I think that the truth is somewhere in the middle, right? Like, yeah, a lot of people would argue, hey, it's all garbage time. And you'd be like, no, it wasn't. And a lot of people would say, like, garbage time doesn't matter, it's just stats. And that's not true either. Like, there's always a middle ground. That's why I'm boring, because I always try to hit it.
The unfortunate, I think, thing with Derek Carr is the guy played through being hurt, which everybody wants these players to do. But you know what? It definitely affected him some, and his numbers, obviously. So that wasn't up to par. So you're damned if you do, almost, and damned if you don't.
Right. People want you to play hurt, but then if you play hurt and play badly, people are like, how selfish if you're playing hurt.
You're a detriment to the team. You should have benched yourself.
Right. But okay, I think it's about time we wrap up this episode. We went through a lot, right? We covered a lot of ground. We talked about Daniel Jeremiah. We talked about the offensive line. We talked about, you know, inventory versus evaluation. I think that's the first time I use that, but it works. Justin Mello, great breakdown of a lot of players. I have to go back and listen to it again, because it's like rapid fire information. It's always amazing to me how much investment he makes every year in the draft.
Total, like, amazing wealth of knowledge, obviously. And like you said, how many dudes this guy's interviewing constantly?
Right, and all these players like go different directions, and it's just, anyway, it's great. Mason Smith took a visit to the Saints. I hadn't seen that previously, so that's good info that you found here on the pod. You know, one thing I do want to hit before we go, and we'll talk about this again on the next episode before the draft, but Thursday draft coverage on WWL, we've got I think this is one of the best shows that goes on all year in terms of content for the Saints and for the draft. Like, they have interviews, Mickey Loomis, Jeff Ireland, Clint Kubiak for the first time, basically.
I was going to say, nobody's heard from Kubiak since he joined the Saints.
Right. Rick Dennison, all these guys, all these coaches are going to be on WWL leading up to the draft. So make sure to check that out. Obviously Dennis Allen, right? Joe Woods, everybody. Like, if there's a coach on the Saints that you want to hear from, you're going to get him on that show. And that's going to be leading up to the draft on Thursday. So make sure to check that out. And we'll pull some of those clips. I'll probably pull that full Clint Kubiak interview so we can play it on a pod at some point this offseason, because I got questions. I got questions, man. And I want to hear about them. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's always a fun day. Our schedule for the pod is going to be a little weird, because there was a lot of time investment in the covering the draft. Like, day three is going to be a mess, because right now they could be making 7 picks on Saturday,
and so, then the aftermath too is still with the undrafted guys.
Yeah, right. And then it's not over at right. that point. So we'll get you as many pods as we can. I'm going to try to do more quick hitters after picks that we can get up. But don't quote me. I said that last year, and I just was not able to do it. So we'll see, but I do think we have a better handle on things this year than we did in the past. But definitely check that out. WWL AM 870 FM 105.3. You can always catch up with it on the Odyssey app if you can't hear it live. But I do recommend checking it out. That's my long form pitch. The Diane will be happy.
4 o'clock Thursday. Deuce and Hoss.
Deuce and Hoss. There you go. But all right, thanks everyone for listening. This has been Inside Black and Gold, another episode in the books. Thanks again to Justin Mello. I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Steve Geller. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff_Nowak. As you see, if you tweet at me, occasionally I'll talk about it. Not always, but every now and then. You can follow Steve at Steve Geller, WWL. You can follow the show at Saints_Pod. Till the next time, hoot at. Peace out. Easy, y'all.
And go Pels.
Ooh, go Pels.